That little speaker on your phone doesn't stand a chance. Subscribe to the Brady and Walker podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan, on demand. The Giants are World Series champions.
And the Giants have won the World Series again. Madison Bumgarner with a phenomenal performance. Five shutout innings in relief here tonight. And for the third time in five seasons, the San Francisco Giants are the champions of the baseball world.
You're listening to Brady and Walker on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
San Francisco Giants, right before our eyes, have turned into a dynasty. Another World Series win, 7-0-3. Brady and Walker, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. So, Greg, what we saw this series from Madison Bumgarner. Well, first answer me this. Coming into the playoffs, we knew he was good, but he didn't really enter this with the acclaim of, say, Clayton Kershaw or even David Price or Max Scherzer or Steven Strasburg, right?
Maybe even Jake Peavy until maybe halfway through this season. If he's a free agent and he's heading out there, we're talking in May and we're going, well, who are free agents, Andrew, that you're seeking out? Scherzer, Shields is probably has a better rep than Madison Bumgarner if they're hitting the open market. Now people are.
Yeah, certainly not Peavy. Peavy's an afterthought.
Yeah, okay. He's a back rotation guy. But people are more Madison Bumgarner and Clayton Kershaw will go neck and neck for the Cy Young next year. I don't know. Because I had to go look at what Madison Bumgarner does on a start-by-start basis. And you start going, it's okay. It's pretty good. He'll go six innings and give up three runs. And he'll go 7 1/3 and give up four. Nothing like the absolute utter dominance. We've never seen a postseason like it. I know we can get caught up in the moment and say, that's the best movie I've ever seen. That's the greatest restaurant. Hell, my new girlfriend, that's the best sex I've ever had. That's because you haven't had any in 3 years. We get stuck on stuff. But isn't it kind of undeniable? It's not too much to say, that's more impressive than Jack Morris. That's more impressive than Pedro Martinez, Curt Schilling. I can only go by what I saw. I don't care what happened in 1903 or even 1968. I got to say what I saw, and I've never seen anything like it.
We even talked to Rick Bucher the other day, and he's stationed out in San Francisco, and we asked him about, you know, what Madison Bumgarner kind of meant to the area. And he said, it's more like Matt Cain was a very good pitcher and led them to a World Series. But we don't talk about Matt Cain like he's an all-timer, not like they do about Tim Lincecum, right? Tim Lincecum is the favorite son in San Francisco and always will be. Until this series, Madison Bumgarner wasn't really that. But now he is.
Well, is Madison Bumgarner, if you were to go somewhere and put on money, is Madison Bumgarner ever going to win a Cy Young Award? I don't know.
I don't know.
But he's been 11th and 9th. That's the two times he's been in the top 12 for voting. 11th 3 years ago and 9th 2 years ago.
Now, I mean, that's solid. That makes you an ace, right?
Yeah, he might be top 5, top 6 this year. He was 18-10 with a 2.98 ERA and a 1.09 whip.
That's a great year.
He had a great year. But if you told people 2 years ago, if you said, guess what? This team's going to win again in 2 years, but they're going to get nada from Tim Lincecum, even though he threw a no-hitter this year. They're going to get nothing from Matt Cain again. And when Cain's healthy, he's going to be bad. And you're saying, you know, Ryan Vogelsong's going to become one of the least reliable starters. Like Vogelsong at 34 2 years ago, when they beat the Tigers and when they beat the Cardinals, had some really good moments. You're going to get very little from him. He's going to be 24 and he's going to carry you. He's going to put the entire pitching staff who had all the other starters had 9.90 ERA. He's going to put them all on his shoulders and he's going to carry you to a World Series in seven games. You'd never have believed it. Yeah, we've never seen anything like it.
It's an incredible story. And the one thing I bristled at last night is that, and maybe it was a lot of people that of course it's like Christmas and Easter going to church. It's the World Series. So you're going to watch. And people know who Madison Bumgarner is, so you say, well, he's going to come out of the bullpen and he'll dominate because that's what he does. What we saw last night isn't supposed to happen. And Bruce Bochy said it after the game, and Buster Posey said it right on the field after the game. They said, at best, they hoped he'd come in and manage three innings or so. But on 2 days rest, the greatest of the great of all time aren't supposed to be themselves. They're supposed to muddle through.
Well said. And we're living in a world where there's even talk, hey, should major league teams go to six-man rotations? Should we not have, we bristle here, a lot of Blue Jays fans go crazy and they throw things against the wall because John Gibbons likes an eight-man bullpen. They carry 13 pitchers out of spring training.
We're so afraid of ruining young arms. We're so afraid of Tommy Johns. It's such a dirty word. It seems like every decent pitcher under the age of 30 has had Tommy John at some point in his career.
So Madison Bumgarner is a year and a half older than Drew Hutchison, and he's 15 months older than Drew Hutchison, and he's 18 months older than Marcus Stroman. Like, it's mind-boggling. This isn't even some... Morris was a grizzled vet. Schilling's a grizzled vet, right? Smoltz, grizzled vet. He's got a 24-year-old pitcher.
It's all even Pedro. It's all downhill from here for Madison Bumgarner. Tough to get much better. 7:08, Brady and Walker, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. We do have Toronto and Chicago Blackhawks tickets for this weekend coming up. Your second clue, we'll give it to you in about 5 minutes. First, let's get you what you need to know.
This is your Thursday morning six-pack. Six things you need to start your day.
Number six, the family of Gordie Howe, Mr. Hockey, issued a release yesterday, and believe it or not, and maybe this isn't too difficult to fathom, Gordie Howe is showing some signs of improvement. He's still in rough shape after suffering a significant stroke on Sunday. But his family says the 86-year-old is in guarded condition. His spirits are good. There's a long road to recovery, but he is showing some signs of improvement.
Mark Howe, who we've had on our show, we had him on right after he was inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame, told a newspaper yesterday he had 375 text messages, and that was more than he had when he got inducted into the Hall of Fame. So he's sort of that family member for every hockey fan, to be perfectly honest.
Number five, we will get to the Toronto Raptors home opener, that victory, in just a couple of minutes. But it was a big night for Canadian basketball. It is amazing to see all the Canadians that played in the league last night, including, of course, the big three drafted this year. Andrew Wiggins, the number one overall pick in this past year's draft, got the start for the Minnesota Timberwolves, only played 19 minutes and had 6 points. And we saw the same from a couple other Canadians last night.
Yeah, Tyler Ennis got the only win, actually. And he may end up being on the best team. He played the fewest minutes, but ended up getting in there for about 12 minutes. But the Phoenix Suns might be the most likely playoff team. So if we're going to see a Canadian in the playoffs, could be a long year in Sacramento for Nick Stauskas out of Michigan. They lost 95-77 to Golden State last night. Golden State's really good. But Wiggins and Bennett are going to struggle to get wins in Minnesota. So maybe we see Tyler Ennis out of Syracuse, the lone Canadian to be in a playoff.
Rudy Gay shooting 4 of 80 last night.
He's in business.
Yes. Number four, NFL Thursday Nighter. It's a big game in the NFC South. The New Orleans Saints on the road taking on Carolina. Now at 3-4, both these teams are 3-4. Let's be honest. Unless one inexplicably turns their season around, one of these teams is making the playoffs as division winner. And it might well be the winner of tonight's game.
And hard to even guess who the best wild card is and what record they'll have. You could have, Philadelphia, Green Bay, even San Fran, Seattle, who were in the championship game last year. If Arizona walks with the division, they got a 2-game lead right now. The idea is the NFC, I guess you do get rewarded because it could be a lot worse. There's still people that want to reseed the playoffs, not give an automatic home game to a division winner when they're a lousy 8-7-1 or 9-7 and 8-8. And I understand that too.
Well, I would say this. Everybody else in the NFC really wants Carolina to win the division. Because
true.
I don't care what their record is, and Green Bay found this out on Sunday, it's still daunting to go into New Orleans and win a football game.
Yeah, that's a great point. Is going to Charlotte and playing Cam Newton, you'd rather do that. They're 2-2. They're 2-2 at home this year. They haven't looked good in the least bit. Pittsburgh went in there and gave them their lunch on that Sunday night game.
Number three, a couple of games last night in the NHL. Detroit 4, Washington 2, and the Oilers win streak. This was the late one on Sportsnet 1. The Oilers fall 4-1. The Nashville Predators. Busy night tonight. Leafs not in action until Friday night. Tomorrow night they take on Columbus, but it's a doubleheader on Sportsnet 360. You have the Penguins and the LA Kings at 7, and then at 10, the late game, Real good game. Montreal out west in Vancouver.
Have you ever seen a team? Columbus tomorrow night, you mentioned. The Jackets swept the Leafs last year in three games and really did dummy them in a couple. You ever see a team with so many injuries 10 games into the season as the Blue Jackets? Now Sergei Bobrovsky gone for a week or two. They are they are really struggling. Ryan Johansson, who missed most of training camps, one of the last effective Columbus Blue Jackets.
He's had a point and had a point in every game.
So Anisimov went down the other night. Wisniewski gone. The potential, obviously, Boone Jenner out. Nick Foligno out. Dubinsky out. We may never see Nathan Horton again. They've had everything go wrong that could go wrong.
And Ryan Murray, of course, their stud young defenseman, just came back, and he's played two games, but he's had injury concerns himself in his first 2 years of his career. Number two, Toronto Raptors. Win their home opener, 109-102, against the Atlanta Hawks. Now, the Raps led this one from start to finish. Atlanta did come back with a big run in the fourth quarter, but never made it that, you know, classic one-possession game. Seven players in double figures for the Raptors. Is this kind of the way, much like last year, that they're going to win on a lot of nights?
Feels that way, and you're not going to have DeMar DeRozan shoot 4 of 16 on a lot of nights, although there were nights early in the season, and they even happened during those dog days in February and March, where we'd talk about DeRozan and Lowry together. They're one of the best scoring backcourts, probably beyond Golden State. They're probably one of the best scoring backcourts in the NBA. They are going to, Beal and Wall are pretty good in Washington too. But there were nights when we'd say, God, DeRozan and Lowry combined for like 11 for 46. They were...
It'll happen
once in a while, and that's why you're going to need... Valanciunas is taking steps. Amir Johnson may average a double-double this year, and just an inexplicable signing 5 years ago. He's where Kyle Lowry is now, Andrew, in that contract year. And if he wants to stay, be a big part of things, he'll have a monster year, and they'll have to pay him a monster salary.
This is a common narrative, but coming up, we'll have Damian Cox at 722. And after Damian, I want to tell you why this Raptors group just continues to be so refreshing to watch as a Toronto sports fan. The number one thing you need to know, yes, for the third time in 5 years, the San Francisco Giants are World Series champions, and they can thank one guy. Baseball's a team sport, but quite literally, they won this series because of Madison Bumgarner. 5 shutout innings in relief last night for the save after picking up 2 wins already in the series. Just unbelievable. And he is a slam dunk choice for the World Series MVP. We want to send you to the ACC coming up this Saturday. Toronto taking on the Chicago Blackhawks, courtesy of Brady and Walker's ticket window for the Great Blue Heron Casino. Your third and final clue coming up at 8:14. We want you to name us that player. Here's your second clue. He still plays hockey in the Anaheim Ducks organization. Third and final clue in your chance to win coming up at 8:14.
So a big doubleheader on Sportsnet 360 tonight. How about the Kings? How about the Penguins? You got the Stanley Cup champs going in to play Crosby and Malkin. 7 o'clock on Sportsnet 360. And then an all-Canadian battle in Vancouver, where the Montreal Canadiens take on the Canucks. Don't forget football on Sportsnet. 8 o'clock, Saints-Panthers, as Andrew mentioned. So busy, busy night on our channels.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. You're listening to Brady and Walker.
Those goofy bastards are just about the best thing I've got going in this crazy world.
On Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
7:23. Brady and Walker, Damian Cox coming up in just a couple of minutes here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. It can't be understated. I know we have a point to this. This is one of the worst songs ever.
Why?
It's
Thomas Dolby, She Blinded Me with Science.
Yeah, I know what it is.
When the guy yells, terrible. Science! All right, Bill Nye, the science guy. Everybody watches Game 7 of a World Series. You learn this because John Moore, who's like a comedian, and I follow him on Twitter, last night was like, hey, there's a guy behind home plate in an orange Marlins jacket. Isn't that weird? I'm like, you're really late to this.
You're about 2 weeks late.
These are tweets from 12 days ago.
Bill Nye was watching. I actually did think he was dead, but...
Okay, he's got almost 2 mil... That's Bill Moyers. No, he's also left from PBS. World Series science, he tweets. Don't dive into first base. Instant a runner leaves his feet, he slows down. May have cost Royals a run and the game. And everybody was... There he is, destroying Eric Hosmer last night for doing that on that replay when Bruce Bochy challenged.
Well, you know how ESPN does that science of sport thing?
Yeah.
I actually did watch the one last night where they were trying to dispel the myth that which was quicker.
Yeah.
And it is documented fact that running across the bag is a tenth of a second faster than diving. The one thing people miss, though, is that when you dive into first, it's generally because you think there's going to be a wild throw and the guy's going to try to tag.
Oh, I don't think that. I just think it's instinct and it's a bad instinct. It's like slamming on your brakes all of a sudden, not realizing the guy behind you is not knowing you're going to slam on your brakes.
That could be
I'll never forget Ben Johnson in Seoul when he dove across that finish line and ended up with a 9.63 because he dove on the pavement. He was so charged up
at
that point.
Jeremy Weatherspoon dove across that line instead of sticking out his toe in the Olympics.
We have a doubleheader tonight.
Oh, wait, he dove at the start line. Never mind.
Yes, there's a Zola Bud joke there for our older demographic. Damian Cox, NHL and Sportsnet Insider, brought to you by Cicely Hanna. Doubleheader tonight, Kings Pens at 7, Habs Canucks at 10. I don't think we have any undeniable scientific hockey things that are like that. We just have don't dive into first base. That's it.
Well, first of all, I want to go back. Can we go back? I sit here and I listen to you guys.
I'm sorry about that.
You're welcome.
First of all, Thomas Dolby, you had to have been there.
Yeah, Walker, you were three when that song came out.
It was cool at the time. And my children, though, laugh at me and say, that was a song? and the other thing about the diving in the first base, I don't know whether it was Harold Reynolds or Tom Verducci made the point. I think it was Harold Reynolds saying, the biggest problem is not that you don't get there as fast, is that you don't make that boom sound as you go across the place. Instead, it's more quiet, and that it makes it more difficult for the umpire to call you safe. But I don't know.
I think it's a great point. I was thinking the same thing, but here we are in the replay era, and it doesn't matter, right?
I suppose.
They're going to get the call right no matter what.
In hockey, all rules of science do not apply. So, which is why analytics is coming in slowly because all rules of science do not apply.
Oh, don't get Andrew started on analytics.
It's a good segue, Damian, because we've been talking a lot about Nazem Kadri, and the analytics community will tell you how great Nazem Kadri's playing. But at some point, you have to look at this guy with two goals and 2 points and wonder how good he has really been.
I think that's a really good point. And one of the things with analytics for me, I used to be, I don't even want to hear it, but it makes my head hurt. And now I sort of look at it, I say, okay, there's some stuff. But there's no question, and I think Randy Carlyle made a good point with his second line, when I think he was talking about Kadri and Winnick and Lupo last week. He said, okay, I get all the analytics stuff, but I don't have any goals. And I suppose the analytics approach is to say, yes, but they will. And I suppose that may be true. I think, again, this stuff is marrying the old with the new all the time. And, the objective of a coach is to score goal, get goals, and win games. And the possession stuff is nice. But, I mean, we've got the Montreal Canadiens tonight against Vancouver on 360, I think. I mean, you see Montreal play the other night against Calgary. I mean, the analytics and the numbers and the possession and the Corsi and the Fenwick were all a tidal wave against the Canadiens. And of course, they walk out with the win. So, I think it's not as good in short samples. The idea is that you look at larger samples, and then you get the larger trends. But when it comes to Kadri, you need production. You need production out of that second slot. And I think the challenge for Carlyle is to not just look at him and say, he's a 23, 24 year old, whatever he is now, center. Mm-hmm. But say I need these numbers, but to say, he's still developing, and that's always been the problem in Toronto for as long as I can remember, the lack of patience when it comes to letting players develop.
Yeah, Damian Cox joining us. Great doubleheader on Sportsnet 360 tonight. Kings Pen, 7 o'clock. Habs go to the Rogers Arena in Vancouver and finish their Western road trip. I mean, and the counter for Kadri is Joffrey Leupel. He has 2 goals. He had 9 shots against the Sabres.
Right.
The Sabres had 10 shots, and Leupel had 9, and he hasn't scored on his last 19 shots, but we're not all up in arms going, where is Leupel? He's invisible. And I'm not saying Kadri doesn't deserve some criticism, but he is a 50-point player, and he was 23 years old last year, and you're right, too often in this city, we've thrown the baby out with the bathwater, right?
Well, and it's over and over. I have this argument. I've been having this argument with Nick Kiprios for the last couple of weeks on Gardner. He's very down on him. I'm certainly he's not playing great hockey, but I mean, how many defensemen do you have to come through Toronto that they moved way too early? And to me, the great example was, and maybe people don't remember all of it, was Todd Gill when he was with the Leafs in the, I guess, late 80s, early 90s. Guys, he looked like he was the worst defenseman ever, to come through. And they stuck with him, and maybe they wanted to get rid of him. And he developed into, by 27, 28, a pretty good NHL defenseman. Now, you'd like bigger upside than that for Gardner, but you just don't know. Yeah, you'd like it to be Seth Jones and the way he looks out there with the Nashville Predators, but that's not who he is. And you can either get rid of him, let him develop into a player with someone else, or you can be patient. And it's always awful, awful hard to be patient.
Yeah. Like they throw Luke Richardson in that Grant Fuhr trade, right? And I remember people going, "Oh, good riddance, thank God I don't have to watch him." The guy goes on to play 1,200 more games.
Well, I mean, and even Scott Thornton. Well, why did the Leafs take Scott Thornton third overall? Yeah, well, he ended up playing a hell of a lot of hockey, and guys don't, come into their, everybody wants to define players by the time they're 22, 23 years old. Some guys you can, most guys you can't.
As mentioned, Habs and Canucks tonight on 360. Just your early read on Vancouver through nine games. They're 6-3, and how badly does this speak of John Tortorella? I mean, you go division championship, awful with Tortorella, and now they're back to being okay.
You know what? When I watch the Canucks, I get the sense that this whole franchise has been refreshed. That Trevor Linden and Jim Benning, and then the change in number of players and the removal of guys like Luongo and Kessler who didn't want to be there out of that dressing room, and then a little bit of youth coming in there. It just looks like a fresher team to me. And they're playing that way. The Sedins look that way. I don't think they can make the playoffs because of the division they play in, and they really haven't had to deal with the grind of playing all those California teams too much yet. But I do like the direction. I think the challenge is, they're kind of into that middle area now, and they kept the Sedins, and they kept some of their pieces. They brought in Ryan Miller, which means they're going to be in the middle of the pack, which means you're not going to get that top pick. So when the Sedins do retire when they're 45 years old, who's going to replace them? But, that's for down the road. To me right now, if I'm a Vancouver fan, it's like a breath of fresh air because things got awfully stale in the last couple of years.
We should mention Rogers Hometown Hockey. We got the doubleheader on 360 tonight, but Rogers Hometown Hockey Sunday. Red Deer, Alberta, the locale where
Damn
Ron
right.
McLean will be. Flames and Canadiens. Very Sutter-esque Sunday night, won't it be, Damien?
I think they may come up. I think it'll be something on Ron McLean, then something on the Sutters, and something on Ron McLean, then something on the Sutters. I think it's really sort of, I don't know, for those who haven't seen it, I think the show is kind of a work in progress because it's amalgamating a show from a remote location with a hockey game in another location, and we're in the studio, but it's kind of starting to work, and some of the feature stories, guys,
yeah.
And even last week on Gordie Howe, and the Western Canadian, Montreal Canadian Hall of Fame. Some really, really interesting stuff. And I know there's some stuff coming up this week on Chris Sutter and everything that Daryl Sutter dealt with. So I think you see some really great features, and maybe it'll be a good hockey game. But Red Deer is one of those places I'm pretty happy to hear they're having the Memorial Cup in a couple of years because I've never been there.
I still own half of a duplex in Red Deer. I thought they were going to do like an MTV Cribs, but then they just kind of brushed it aside. But everything makes the cutting room, right?
Was the whole duplex too expensive in Red Deer? Was that
the
problem?
The other side's like a cracked in, so I can understand.
Look at this guy. How can I sell a house in Detroit and you can't sell a place in Red Deer? That speaks volumes.
It's a cracked end where they just have Thomas Dolby tunes.
That's right.
All night long.
That's incredibly accurate.
Very,
actually, yes.
Very big artist in Livonia. All right, we'll be watching, Damien. Thanks.
All right, gentlemen. Have a good one.
There's Damien Cox.
Yeah, speaking of hometown hockey, we will have former New Jersey Devils and Calgary Flames head coach Brent Sutter on the show tomorrow. We'll talk a little bit about Red Deer and what makes that hockey hotbed so fantastic.
Also, Scott Hartnell on the show tomorrow, who's in early for maybe one of the best NHL Halloween costumes. I did a bit of a double take.
It's
with
really good. On his Twitter account, I retweeted it last night. He's dressed as Larry Bird.
Who wears short shorts? Unfortunately, Scott Hardinal wears short shorts.
Sportsnet 590 The Fan, by the way, giving you a chance to win a hockey trip for two to Montreal from partypoker.net.
Marcel Wegman from Keswick, our newest qualifier for a chance to win that trip to Montreal, courtesy of PartyPoker.net, included tickets to see Toronto play Montreal on February the 14th. We'll announce another qualifier tomorrow. Get your name in right now. Contest page at sportsnet590.ca.
Coming up, Randall the Handle. The night game tonight is a pretty important one for teams that want to make the playoffs. The Saints and the Panthers live from Charlotte. It's on Sportsnet at 8 o'clock. And at 7:50, they go from bad to worse to downright disturbing allegations regarding a former CBC host. We will talk about them.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. This is Brady and Walker on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
7:43, Brady and Walker, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. We will touch on this week's lines, week 9 in the National Football League. Randall the Handle coming up. By the way, have to get it in. Madison Bumgarner, MVP performance again last night. Giants are World Series champions for the third time in 5 years. A 3-2 drama-filled win. Game 7 last night. You saw it on Sportsnet. We'll talk to our MLB insider. He had a late one, John Morosi, coming up at 8:42. Real quickly, before we get to Randall the Handle, I can't believe we didn't mention this yesterday, because I know it's something near and dear to your heart. But yesterday...
Coffee?
Well, that too. I love everything about coffee.
80s music.
That too. But yesterday was National Cat Day. And I know you love cats, Mr. Mittens and Oreo or whatever the hell their names are. You're a cat guy, and I want to say congratulations to you on yesterday.
You have the same amount of cats living with you that I do.
Yeah, but it's different. It's different.
I'm not Miss Havisham from Great Expectations, okay? There's not half-eaten wedding cake and 9 cats running around. That's my mother's house, but it's not mine.
I have cats, but I'm not a cat guy. There's a difference.
I'm not sure I'll ever own a dog. They're a lot of work, and the walking, and the smelling, and the licking, and
it's like I jog, but I'm not a jogger, right? Like, there's a difference.
There is a big difference. So loads of football this coming weekend. Saints Panthers go tonight. The Saints, thank you. Yes, that's a Panther. The Saints are in Carolina.
That's how the Panthers have played.
In Charlotte, at home at times. And Randall the Handle joins us now, co-host of The Bottom Line, brought to you by BetTheGreek.net. Sunday, 10 o'clock, with himself and Jory Mittelstadt. And boy, did you ever tell us about the Saints last week? And I had to double check. Wait a minute. They didn't feel like an 8-0 team at home last year. But surely you saw that game at the half, and no one saw the second half getting so out of control. The Saints were just, that was a pummeling from the opening kick of the second half on, wasn't it?
Well, it was. I think people got a little hyped up on Green Bay, but Green Bay, the only winning team they've defeated is Miami, and that was at the last second. They shouldn't have won that game. So, you know, they may be a little better than they're not as good as advertised, and Saints are probably better than advertised because of the games that they've lost on the road have been very, very tight. Now they're at home where they don't lose. So it worked out well, as you said, in the second half, of course.
Denver, New England, people love the Brady Manning battle and whatnot. I feel like Manning is on a more complete team, and he may not break records like he did last year. He's another year older. He shouldn't be as good as he was last year or the year before. But this looks like, why the Super Bowl goes so badly? Because Manning didn't play well. And I'm not even sure now that the Broncos can't get away with an average Manning. They're so deep at all these other positions. Now they haven't had to worry about it yet because he's been great.
Yeah, I don't disagree with any of that. I mean, they have so many weapons, and they're healthier, and they improve their defense, and they're clearly the best team in the NFL. We can't say that about New England because New England has been a little bit erratic. They, too, have not defeated the best opponents recently. Denver's done everything they've been asked to do, and then some. Yeah, they lost an earlier game up in Seattle, but, you know, that was earlier. They're getting it together. They're getting their guys back on the field. DeMarcus Ware is getting better each week. They are just the best team. I mean, when you see San Diego, who's a good, decent football team, go in there as a 10-point underdog, you know who the best team is, because San Diego would not be a 10-point underdog anywhere else in this league except Denver.
So what is the right side here then? Are you siding with Denver? Are they good enough to be a 3.5-point favorite on the road, considering what these games look like when they play?
Well, I know a lot of people are going to talk about New England's home record as an underdog, which is very rare. They're under Brady, they're 9-1 when taking points at home, but that's over a long career, so it doesn't happen very frequently. You can't really look at the history here. Denver, like we say, is the better team. I can lay the 3 or 3.5. I think it's sitting at 3 right now. And the fact that oddsmakers will make it 3 tells you a little bit. You also look at the injuries on the New England side, and that plays a big factor here. They're missing Jerod Mayo and Stephen Ridley. Those are guys that they need on the field, and that makes New England a little bit weaker. And Denver, I think, wins this game.
It's Randall the Handle joining us, BetTheGreek.net. Of course, brings you the bottom line Sunday at 10. The Monday night game, I want to touch on that only because the Colts, I got to say this about the Colts, their defense isn't fantastic. They got guys hurt, but they have a never give up thing about them. They could have easily said, hey, not our day. It's not going well against Pittsburgh here. But if that safety doesn't happen, maybe they go down and score and we got a totally different game. They didn't give up. They were down 38-10 against the Chiefs in the playoffs. People forget that and came back and won. Do you see anything in them? They're a 3-point favorite in New York against the Giants. Is that more reflective that they're on the road and it's at night, or are people saying, hey, you got to be careful of this defense here? It's leaking oil right now.
Well, I think the Colts, I mean, you look at last week's game and people might be a little down in the mouth after that one when they get hammered by Pittsburgh and Ben Roethlisberger has a monster day. But that's not going to happen again. The Giants, you don't know what you get with them, but when they lose by a lot. In fact, all of their losses have been by double digits, and they come back from a break off of 2 losses. Indianapolis had won 5 straight before that hammering by Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. So I'd rather trust Indianapolis than I would the Giants, because I just think they're still a team that's in a rebuilding mode. And even though they're at home, I just think Indianapolis might have too much firepower for a suspect secondary on the Giants side.
Sunday nighter, you got the Steelers and the Ravens, and this always seems to be a field goal game, and maybe no surprise, it's a pick 'em in Pittsburgh. What side should we be looking at?
Well, that tells you a lot, the fact that they made it a pick 'em, doesn't it? Because Pittsburgh, as we just mentioned about that game last week, people are week to week when it comes to wagering on this, and odds makers have made it a pick 'em. This is after Baltimore just lost. Pittsburgh just scored 52 or something?
117, I believe, yes.
Yeah, they're still scoring. And they're an underdog at home, and this is a big rivalry. So the odds makers know something. Baltimore is probably the best team in the division. Let's not forget they beat Pittsburgh handily earlier in the year, 26-6. Now they go into Pittsburgh. We saw Pittsburgh's defense being somewhat leaky. I think Baltimore's going to win this game, and I think sometimes you've got to read the line. The line tells you that.
We'll be listening Sunday morning. Randall, thanks for this. Enjoy the game tonight.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
Game is on Sportsnet. Randall's great. That was excellent. Always on Thursday mornings, always at 7:40. Saints-Panthers tonight on Sports. There's no line yet also for Washington-Minnesota, which is interesting.
They're RG3.
Trying to get RG3 ready.
Yeah. Sounds like he's going to play.
And is the senior PR director, is the no-means-no guy, going to be ready to play and do his best?
It's so embarrassing.
When we talked about that Tuesday morning, he got in a lot more trouble by Tuesday afternoon for that. And he is on Twitter, so he was taking it. Don't mentions senior PR.
Awful.
No man,
awful.
No means no guy.
He deserves,
shoved the guy.
Yeah, he deserves
hard.
Everything coming his way.
So last night. During Game 7 of the World Series, there's hockey on, there's basketball on, there's all this stuff. More on the Jan Gomeshi front. He's been accused now by a woman who's put her name and face behind this, and bravely and courageously at that. Lucy Ducouture plays Lucy on Trailer Park Boys. And she is accusing Jan Gomeshi, the former CBC host, of slapping her, choking her, all without warning, all without permission, at his home about 11 years ago when they were on a date. And what are we talking? The Toronto Star article last night, both you and I read it. It's harrowing. About 8 more women have come forward, and they figure a liberal number is about 1 in every 10, 1 in every 15 women will ever admit to anyone, let alone publicly, that they've been abused or raped.
You'll hear more about this today, because it's pretty shocking. It's a must read. And Jesse Brown, obviously, of the Toronto Star, has dug in deep on this over the last, I mean, the Star is probing, the probing range is 2002 to now. There's 8 women that are
giving details in this article. It goes on for a long time. It's going to hit like a ton of bricks, and it's going to get worse before it gets better for Jan Gomesh.
Well, we kind of said that on Monday with his, you know, right in the middle of those NFL games, all of a sudden our Twitter feeds are blowing up with this Facebook message, and neither of us are on Facebook, so we get a link and read this, and it's this getting out in front of the story, and he's hired a PR firm, and he wants his $55 million in a lawsuit, and it smelled like trying to get ahead of some really, really bad stuff, and I'm not sure this is the worst. Let's put it this way. You and I, we could open up the lines and say, you're female, we'll keep your anonymity, tell us your Jan Gomeshi story, and I'm telling you the lines would light right up, and I'm also telling you,
yeah,
we could, if it was that kind of show and we were doing that kind of thing right now, we'd have no problem finding people to say that's what he does. It's unbelievable to be perfectly honest.
It is unbelievable, and people talk, and even last night reading this, you want to be slow to convict because there's nothing worse than a mob mentality, and you read these stories, and even reading this article last night in the Toronto Star, my first inclination from the first story is thinking, well, you know, how much of a witch hunt is it, you know, with anonymous sources? And then it keeps going, and it keeps going, and it keeps going. And the details are so detailed and so explicit, and you can't help but think, oh, my God.
You almost wonder, how do I put it? We're not giving it enough time to do it justice. What we can say is read the article. Talk about it with your friends, with your wife, with your girlfriend, sure, with your boyfriend, whatever.
It's out there.
And come to some answers and learn. But the one thing I'd say quickly is I wonder if he'd have been better Sunday. And he doesn't know this. Sometimes the guy sounds like a monster. He sounds like a monster. So monsters don't know they're monsters sometimes. If he'd been better saying, hey, hi, a lot of stuff's coming out. Like a jilted ex-girlfriend, and she's going to round up a lot of jealous people who want to screw me over. If he just lays it down and says, I might have a problem. I'm sick and I need help. I never knew what I was doing. I never knew I was making anybody feel bad or feel... I'm not buying it.
I don't know.
But it's just, it was the only way out. There's no way back now. There's no motivation for that woman outside of trying to be courageous and do the right thing. There's no motive. There's no money. There's no charges right now. There's no nothing except the idea that you'll be ridiculed and not believed when you bring this up. And we've both known people that have been through this, not in this particular case with this person, but we've both known scenarios where people are just, they're going to take it quietly, and it's awful.
It's an incredible story, really is. Again, the Toronto Star article by Jesse Brown, who's
Kevin Donovan
has been working on this for years. It's a must read. You will hear people talking about it today. 7:55, Brady and Walker, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. At 8:02, it's back in to the World Series. We'll take some of your phone calls. Was the Madison Bumgarner performance the most amazing we've seen in a playoff modern era? And should the Kansas City Royals third base coach, should he have sent Alex Gordon knowing full well that Bumgarner was going to get the next hitter anyway?
Who doesn't love a good collision?